welcome back to a brand new episode of Virtual Coffee. My name is Alexa Collier, and on this podcast, I chat with small business owners from around the world. Now, with me today is Joel Tesh. He is an artist here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, and I found him on Instagram through his really gorgeous paintings he did of Taylor Swift. Now, if you are a fan of Taylor Swift, definitely go to his Instagram and check them out. I am in love with them. But he does really cool portrait paintings and abstract paintings. He really has a wide range of the types of art he creates. Now, we had a really great discussion on this episode. We really dove into how to balance a passion, especially as a creative, with turning that into a business and sustaining that business. Joel has some really great perspectives and advice for really any person pursuing their passions and or launching and owning a business. Now, before we hear from Joel, as always, I'd appreciate if you could rate and review Virtual Coffee on the Apple Podcasts app and on Spotify. It really helps others discover the small businesses that we feature on the show. You can also follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all the socials. It's all at Virtual Coffee Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you all have a wonderful week. And now let's hear from Joel. Welcome, Joel. Thank you so much for being on Virtual Coffee.
Thanks, Alexa. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Let's dive in a little bit. I know you're here to talk about yourself and your art business. And to kick things off, I'd really love to hear where your passion for art started. How does one dive into the world of becoming an artist?
Yeah, great question. As far as when it started, absolutely from before I can remember. My parents tell me from the moment I could actually hold a crayon, I was drawing, especially drawing people and faces. It's funny, my parents kept this and gave it to me several years ago, but I think it became evident to everybody when I was in preschool that there was also an innate talent that went along with that. And my preschool teacher was nice enough to actually make a bound volume of all the drawings I had done. In class. And looking back, it's like, all right, for a 3 to 4 year old, you can actually tell who these cartoon characters are, which I think is high praise at that age. So
yeah, that's awesome.
And so that just stayed with me throughout the years. Art has always been very much a part of my life. It has been sometimes in the background, sometimes at the forefront. I think if I still had any notebooks from high school and college, there are drawings all in the margins, all over the place. Maybe that's an explanation for some of the grades I got in science. it's something that's just always been with me. And the last couple of decades, I've been lucky enough that I've been able to turn that into a business.
That's incredible. And is your art business your full-time job right now, or are you balancing that with another job as well?
Over the years, it's been both. It's okay. Been, and I'd like to say, like, for me, creating a business or my own business wasn't a linear thing where, all right, I've decided to create the business. I created it, started small, got bigger, bigger, bigger. It's been a lot of, someone wanted to buy a painting I did. The very first painting I ever made, I'd always been drawing. I've loved drawing from day one. I did illustration work in college. I started doing illustration work for an advertising agency for my first job out of college, and then got into sales there and realized I can make a lot more money doing sales. that became my primary career for about 20 years. And when I met my wife and we started dating, it just popped into my head, I want to make a painting for her. And we were living in San Francisco at the time, and I did a painting of the Golden Gate Bridge. And that was the very first painting I actually had ever done. Even in school, I didn't like painting because I liked being able to have that precise control that I have with a pencil, and a brush was just, too much for me. I wasn't disciplined enough to learn that. But for some reason, this just struck me. I need to make her a painting. And from then on, I never looked back, and I've been painting ever since. But back to the question about the business. So yeah, once I started doing some paintings, I had some people buy a couple. So I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. But it's been at various times my side hustle, been something where I just do, you know, commissions whenever I'm asked, to something I'm really focusing on. It was briefly my primary business in the, let's see, mid 2010s. And then three kids necessitated get a more steady paycheck. But now I'm luckily it has been for the last 3 years my primary business. And so hopefully that can continue to grow and be my sole focus.
Wow. What a dream to have that be your primary. That's incredible. And I appreciate you sharing that journey, that it wasn't always primary, right? Like you said, you were balancing multiple jobs, or maybe art was in the background. I think that's just important to share, that it's not always, hey, I want this to be my business, and you just go from there, right? It's a right. journey to get to where you're at now. And also, who knows where it will be in 5 years, 10 years, right? It's a dynamic journey. And I like exactly. that you shared that aspect of that. Interesting to me that you didn't do, like you mentioned, the painting, right? You didn't like the brush aspect. Is that abnormal for artists to switch mediums like that? You know, I'm not deep in the art world, so you have to educate me here. Is that abnormal, or is that a normal thing for artists to like do, you know, pencil drawings, then move to painting? I would assume it's not normal, but curious to hear from your perspective.
Yeah. It's really interesting. So I've met enough artists over the years to decide there's really nothing typical in the art world. Sure. So I've met people that were like me that are very focused on, you know, pen and ink, or very focused on digital, and that's all they do. And I've met other artists, which, I mean, they blow my mind. They're incredible. Like, they will paint, they can do sculpture. They're musicians. They are just good at anything and everything creative. And so it really runs the gamut. I think what people tend to focus to, though, are their, I think where their passion lies and what they have the most fun doing. And at the time in high school, I was very into comic books. And so that was very much a drawing medium. And that's what I was, you know, I wanted to be a comic book artist when I grew up. So I think that's where I focused primarily on drawing, and painting at the time wasn't very common in comic books. I think Bill Sienkiewicz was probably the only artist real of mainstream doing that on a consistent basis when I was that age. So that's probably contributed to me avoiding painting as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I get what you're saying in that every artist's journey, I'm sure, is unique, and their skill sets are unique. So yeah, that makes sense to me. I'd love for you to describe the art you create. So for those listening who maybe haven't visited your Instagram yet or your website, can you give us a glimpse into the type of art that you're currently creating and selling?
Sure. Yep. I'm primarily a painter, acrylic on canvas or watercolor paper. I don't do anything digital aside from maybe if I photographed a painting and there's a shadow there, removing that. But that tends to be where my skill set is in the digital art format. I focus my paintings on three categories. I do pop art, portraits, and figures. I do abstracts, and I do landscapes. That is a little bit different from what many artists do. I think a lot of artists, you focus on one particular category, and that's, you know, from a consistency standpoint, that's, you know, a lot of people think that's better for your audience, that's better for building your brand. For me, I like those three types of art subjects because, one, I'm just interested in them. I have fun doing them. I think it allows me to reach a bigger audience, because some people are very into abstracts, some people are very into pop art. And so this way I can kind of hopefully get all those audience members. And then it, more importantly, it keeps things fresh for me. I don't get burnt out that way. If I get tired of doing, you know, I've done six portraits in a row. Hey, let me work on this abstract that's a little more, you know, loosey-goosey. It can kind of, let me see where this takes me. I can just kind of zone out and do something. Abstracts, I think, tend to be the hardest because when is it finished? How do I make this look good? A lot of times it's a happy accident when that happens. But I think I do have a consistency in style that goes that you can see in any of those categories, whether you're looking at one of my, you know, a portrait. I did a prince or of a sunset or an abstract is I like to call my style vivid contemporary. It's very strong colors, heavy contrasts, and hopefully a dynamic image. So subtlety is not a big part of my work.
That's good to know. I love the way you talk about art and your art. It's very fascinating. It's very interesting. I like the way you describe it. I found you through your Taylor Swift paintings, of course. big Swifty. But those are incredible. I love, I'm scrolling on your Instagram now, and your portraits in particular are amazing. They're very neat and they're different, but also so recognizable who you're painting. It's a neat style. I love them. I especially love the Taylor Swift ones.
Thank you. Yes, I have to big shout out to Taylor Swift and the Swifties. You know, it's funny with her massive world tour, you know, all those articles about how she was actually boosting the economies in the different cities she would go to. I can attest to that because I think last year, probably 60% of what I sold of original paintings and prints were Taylor Swift oriented.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I like that tidbit. You know, how many paintings do you do a week, a month? And I think what I'm really trying to get at with that question is, what is your process like? You know, are you trying to paint 9 to 5 and keep a quote unquote normal work schedule? Or do you do it when the inspiration comes? Are you cranking out, I don't know, 10 a week? Is it one a month? Like, I have no idea what day to day is like for an artist. So would you dive into yours?
Yeah, great question. I try to keep it as close to a set 9 to 5 workspace as possible. That doesn't always work. Mm-hmm. I like to say I'm maybe 50% of my time is spent doing art and 50% is spent driving 3 teenage daughters around for various Fair. Activities. So that doesn't always allow for that. But yeah, I try to consistently paint every single week. I think one of the reasons I've been able to make my art business be successful for me, and with the caveat, others are way more successful than me. Really, it all just depends on what you consider a success. I work very fast. I can draw extremely fast, and I think probably because I've been doing it for 50 years, but but that helps out quite a bit. So I'm very prolific. I did 107 paintings last year and 114 the year before. So you know, roughly speaking, I'm averaging about 2 a week, but it does go in spurts. It depends on the size of the painting. Honestly, some just, I use the term, fall out of the brush. I borrow that from John Byrne. He used to say a drawing fell out of his pencil. It just comes right away and it's super fast. And others, I just struggle at this, put it aside and work on something else and then go back to it. And finally it finishes. So there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to that, but I am lucky that I'm able to produce art relatively quickly. And that helps with the business aspect because I'm able to keep new product out there and keep things interesting as far as going to art shows and posting on social media.
Wow. I was not expecting you to say about 2 a week. Mm-hmm. That's crazy to me. That's very fast. Wow. As an artist, do you find yourself constantly learning new techniques or searching for new techniques? Or is it more you really know your style and you try to hone that? You know, like I'm just curious if you're, you know, watching YouTube videos and consuming art content, or is it not like that for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's probably 60% honing what I do now. But then 40%, absolutely, looking for new techniques. I'm not formally trained. I prefer to say that versus self-taught because no one's really self-taught. You know, you looked at a book that someone else wrote or a video that someone else did, or you watched somebody else do something. But I didn't go to art school. So I'm not formally trained. So a lot of things, I'm sure I'm doing things that I could be doing a lot more efficiently. I haven't discovered the right way to do it yet. So I am always learning. What I tend to do is I love looking at other people's art. I love watching painters paint or people create their art. And a lot of times I'll see a painting or I'll see a piece of art where like, oh, that is so cool how they did that background or how they got that splatter effect. And then I'll try to look it up and see if I can find a video of them doing it, or I'm a part of some art groups too, or we'll trade ideas and things that we do. So yeah, always looking for something like that. So it's a little bit of both.
That makes sense to me. That was a good explanation, because it sounds like almost what anyone would do with their passion or their craft or their profession is just naturally look for those ways to, oh, that looks interesting, let me learn about that, versus I just wasn't sure if you were, you know, I'm going to dedicate X amount of hours a week to searching new art techniques. I don't know, but it sounds like anyone would do.
Yeah, it's more organic than that.
I'm a little less
disciplined about that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me. That seems very natural. I'm interested in hearing from you what the experience was like of launching the business aspect of your art, right? Because it's one thing to be an incredible artist and paint and have that passion, and another to handle all the logistics of the business, you know, even just running your Instagram, spinning up your website, selling your art. Any reflections there when you think about that, or even your day-to-day now, that you'd want to share for other people who are launching, you know, that business, whether it's an art business or not? What are some of those pieces that either surprised you or challenged you that you just want to share with others, kind of as advice for people wanting to spin up their own business?
Sure. I think what surprised me and probably surprises most artists is how much time the administrative part of it takes. Very few of us are selling enough that we can hire an assistant to do that stuff for us. And I would love to get to that point one day, but realistically, you know, there are a lot of artists out there, so probably not. And so really making sure that you can't just create. And I know that can be a trap that a lot of artists fall into. I fall into it even periodically, you know, to this day, is I want to just create this. That's the most fun. That's really where my passion is. I want to make this art. But unfortunately, it doesn't magically get into the hands of people that want to buy it. You really have to go out there and hustle. So you have to treat it like a business. It's not as simple as just posting something on Instagram and somebody responds, hey, I'd like to buy that. That does happen occasionally, but not nearly enough to build a consistent business around. And I think I was lucky, quote unquote lucky, or fortunate enough to have worked a corporate job in corporate sales for as long as I did. So I was able to actually see, one, how to sell something, two, how that, you know, revenue numbers fit in with everything else that you have to do with forecasting, with expenses, profit versus revenue, and you know, maintaining you know, that equilibrium of the grunt work versus the fun stuff. And so you have to in some way separate yourself from the product you're selling. And it's hard because this is something that you created. This came from you. You have a lot of yourself wrapped up to this. And you need to step back and, you know, look at it like a product, which is a lot of artists do not want to think of their work as a product. It's something more meaningful. And it is. But from a business standpoint, you absolutely have to do that. And so, you know, what surprised me was the amount of time needed for things like posting, setting up your website, making sure that it is easy to navigate, that it's user friendly, setting up your online store. How do you actually account for the shipping costs? That can eat into your profit quite a bit. Time to pack and ship something. What are the most effective and least expensive ways to ship? Are you going to ship internationally? That costs quite a bit. And then just photographing your artwork, making it available so that it looks well on your website. It looks good on social media. And then I found too, you know, the glory days, you know, were about of social media posting and getting a huge following for artists, I think was probably 10 to 15 years ago. And now with algorithms the way they are, and, you know, it's just hard to build up a consistent audience because you're only reaching, yeah. I mean, most artists, honestly, you get about 15 to 30 likes on any given post, no matter how big your reach is. The social media is set up that way, right? They want to favor advertisers. They want to do that. And I'm not complaining. I always joke, well, if you don't like it, I can ask for my money back because this is something I'm using for free. But combining that with getting out there and selling in person. That's at art markets, that's at art and craft festivals, that's at, you know, gallery shows, things like that. You have to put yourself out there and meet people. People, there are so many great artists out there. There's so many excellent art out there. I know people make fun of, you know, art, you know, buy something from a real artist and not something that you get at Target or, you know, dentist office. I mean, actual artists did those pieces of work too. And I think people, I think where that goes though, is that people want to buy from someone they like, from someone they feel like they know, from somebody they feel like they have a connection with. That's in business sales. That's also the case with art. I found that when I meet people at a gallery or I meet people at an art festival, those people, you know, sign up for my newsletter. I often then sell stuff from Instagram or from my website to those people that I met before. So I think, you know, kind of balancing that in-person with the virtual takes a lot of time in your business. And then really, you know, taking a step back and keeping really good records. I was really bad at this at first, and I knew better because I was good at it in my corporate job, but I treated this job differently at first. But you have to really keep good records, what you're selling, when you sell it, what is selling versus what isn't. A lot of times it's not your favorite pieces aren't the ones that are selling. It's something else. And being able to recognize that and capitalize on it. What are your expenses? Did the cost of canvases go up quite a bit? Yes, they did last year. Are you using the most cost-effective materials that still give you a good product? Are you spending too much on shipping? Are you spending too much on your website? What is your break-even point as far as sales? And, you know, did you get more sales online? Did you get more sales selling prints? Did you get more sales on originals? Being able to track that and then take a look at what's working and really just doubling down on what's working and then changing what isn't working is going to be key.
That was a beautiful answer, Joel. I think that
hopefully it wasn't too long.
No. All of that advice in there, I know you're speaking about your experience, but I think it applies to nearly any product or any business that anyone has. So
yes.
Wonderful advice there. And I'm very impressed by your balance of your passion for your art. Like, clearly you're so passionate about it. You're in it, you know, you're in it for the why. But also balancing that with the realities of running a business. I think you're just listening to you talk, you clearly have that really great mindset around it. Because I think sometimes people are so passionate about what they're doing, but they don't have that business part, right? Which can be okay. You know, maybe you might need to partner with someone or hire someone else to do that for you. But I love that you embody both sides of that, the passion and the why and the business aspect. That's nice. I think you just have a wonderful mindset. And I love how you said, separate yourself from the product you're creating. That's really good advice. Again, for anyone who's trying to push a product out, push a service out, that even hits for me, you know, with this podcast of once you're in that, you're marketing it out, you're posting, it's like separate from the thing and focus on the business aspect. Anyway, I love how you navigated that balance there and explained that. I think that's really great advice for a lot of people.
Well, thank you. And I will say, look, it's easier said than done. And sometimes I have to recalibrate myself because you'll fall into bad habits. And it's funny, you know, I'll do art shows or gallery shows. And I think a lot of artists can relate to this. You know, I'll come up with a piece that I think is just amazing. And this is my masterpiece. And oh, this is going to sell right away. And I'll, you know, take it to that art festival. And then, you know, one piece that I don't like and I almost didn't even bring, but I needed one more to fill it out. I'll bring that. That will always be the one that sells first. And then my quote unquote masterpiece is still sitting in my art studio to this day. So yeah. You never know.
Right. And art is so subjective, right? I mean, it's one of the most personal things out there. So all different opinions and what people like. And yeah, that's an interesting tidbit.
James LaMantia, who owns LaMantia Galleries, told me, it said something to me and it just stuck with me. And this was last year. And so I'm still learning, but he just said, well, Joel, you're not selling to you. You're selling to your customers. I was like, that is, you know, it's simple, but it is so easy to forget. And it's something where when you're pricing your work, when you're looking at what's going, you got to keep that in mind always. And so I try to always think back on that.
Definitely. And again, another thing that doesn't just apply to art, right? That's for any business. Like, you have to sell to your audience, to the customers, listen to their feedback, and yeah, sell to them. Wonderful. Well, I'm interested in where you're hoping to take your art and this business. You know, do you have any major milestones? I don't know, as that business aspect, what are those milestones for you? You know, do you plan on, you know, in a year, I'd like to XYZ, or I don't know, just kind of your thoughts and feelings behind potential goals for the business.
One of my main goals is just to get more gallery representation. And I think to do that, I'm going to need to really focus more on getting out some compelling abstract and landscape work. The pop art work is great for direct sales. And if there's a gallery that's focusing specifically on that type of artwork, it's great, but I would love to get my work in more galleries. I want to kind of take that portrait art that I'm doing and make that to where it's a little bit more, I think, complex and meaningful. So moving from the straight out portraits to doing more scenes in the life. For example, I'm working on one of my favorite television series ever is Mad Men. I started doing a series of paintings. I'm calling the series Mad Moods, but these are just one of the things that rewatching that series recently, I was just so impressed upon was just the artistic way that the scenes are set. The lighting, just the quiet scenes, really, not the, you know, bombastic scenes that everyone remembers, but just somebody standing in front of, you know, the blinds looking out the window, or the way somebody just Don Draper goes out on his balcony and lights a cigarette with the city in the background, those quiet scenes. And so doing portraits of that, where if you know the subject matter, great, but if you don't, it does still look like a compelling scene that you can relate to, something that's all right. It starts out, it's familiar, so you look at it, but then as you look at it a little bit more, it's somebody doing something or in a setting that is interesting and you want to find out more about what's happening or what they're doing. And again, then the more you think about it, the more it brings up familiar memories within you. So it goes back to the familiar. So being able to take somebody on that type of a journey, that's from an artistic standpoint, kind of where I want to go. And then from the business standpoint, really just keep it to where it's a sustainable, profit-oriented business, where it's not just a, my wife's steady paycheck is subsidizing my art hobby. I want to make sure this is something that is, you know, self-sustaining on its own, that it continues to grow as a business. I've been lucky enough to be profitable in the last several years, and even with economic conditions. So continuing that and just being more profitable, you know, I don't have any grand designs of, you know, hey, this is going to be something where where you're going to see my, artwork in stores and all that. Although I did, funny story, I did get a licensing deal where my art was in JCPenney of all places.
Wow, that's cool.
And then COVID hit and they closed up most of their in-person shops. So that didn't last long.
Wow, but it's there. The opportunity is there. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Exactly.
I love that as you were explaining that Mad Men series, that's an awesome idea. And I think that highlights another unique aspect to you is that you have this passion for art, but it's also very relatable. Like you lean into, whether it's, you know, purely intentional or maybe it's just your passion, but like you do lean into this pop culture and the, you know, the quote unquote, like normal non-artists can relate to. I think that's going to really like benefit your success. Because again, like as I scroll your page, right, it's like, oh, Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, like I see all these people, and then that gets me invested into you and your story, right? It's like that you're creating a really great entryway for your customers to enter your world. I really love that aspect of your business. I think that's really neat.
Thank you.
One of my last questions here, Joel, for you is, and I end every episode with this question, is in this moment, what is your proudest accomplishment? And maybe it's related to your art. Maybe it's on something that we didn't even touch upon in this episode. But kind of that first thing that comes to your mind when I ask you, what is your proudest accomplishment so far?
I have to say my family, first and foremost. I have an amazing, supportive wife. She is, again, probably one of the most impressive and inspiring people I've ever met. She's CEO for a company called Parity, which focuses on revenue equity for female professional athletes. Wow. And she is just a superstar. She's the Taylor Swift of our family.
And I love that.
And then I've got three amazing daughters that just make me laugh every single day. They keep my ego in check by constantly letting me know how cringe I actually am. But that's my number one proudest accomplishment is just being lucky enough to have a family like that. You know, from a work standpoint, I've met so many amazing, inspiring artists, and even, you know, in my previous professional life, people that just have this amazing work ethic, just this amazing ability to problem solve that I really want to emulate. And I hopefully I've been able to amalgamate things that I've picked up from all of them in making me better as an artist and as a professional. Some little things that I'm proud of, I was able to do paint. My paintings were wine labels at Wente Vineyards. Wow. They do the house red for Angus Barn in Raleigh, North Carolina, but they're really big. I think they're the oldest privately owned, family owned vineyard in the United States. But I was lucky enough to do some wine labels for them, and that, you know, just got a kick out of that. And then I'll say Sylvester Stallone has liked a couple of my Rocky paintings. Wow. So that's the ultimate right there for somebody like
that. Wow. All of those accomplishments are incredible. Thank you for sharing those. And again, thank you so much for being on the podcast and just sharing your journey and advice and your perspectives. Before we sign off here, Joel, where can people find you and your art? Shout out your social medias, your website. Give everything a shout out.
Thank you. Yes. And Alexa, thank you for having me. This has been an amazing conversation. It flew by, and I'm very
right.
I've listened to previous episodes, and I'm very honored and privileged to be on the same show as some of the other authors and food truck business owners and things like that. We've had some really impressive people on there. So I'm humbled to be a part of this. You can find me on social media and my website. I'm Joel Tesch. That's Joel. Last name is Tesch. So don't forget that C in the middle of that SMH. Most people get tripped up on that. But you can find me on Instagram at Art by Joel Tesch. And on my website is just www.joeltesch.com. So you can go to my website, sign up for my newsletter. I promise it's not annoying. It comes out once a week or once every other week. And Instagram, I try to keep every day or every other day new paintings to get posted on there. So hopefully you'll like what you see.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Joel. And for everyone listening, at the very least, go check out his Instagram and look at his beautiful art. And again, Joel, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Alexa. Great to be here.